Good evening and welcome to Zion. I have no announcements tonight, so we can go ahead and just get started. Throughout this Advent season, we light the candles of our Advent wreath to remind us to keep awake and be ready, to repent of our sins and to change our ways. We were reminded of the good news that the blind can see and the lame can walk, and to always remember that God is with us. Tonight, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we light the Christ candle. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. But the angel said to them,
"Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news and great joy that will be for all and the
Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Christ the Lord.
Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Christ the Lord.
The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. Oh, come, let us adore him,
Christ the Lord.
He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him.
Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Oh, come, let us adore him.
Christ the Lord.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Oh, come, let us adore him.
Christ the Lord.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If I ask you the question, what's with you? What would you think? Really, it's not a great question because it's not clear what I'm asking. You might be asking, what do you have with you? In which case, you might do a quick mental inventory of your pockets or your purse, and you'd think, well, I've got my wallet, my phone, my keys, maybe a Bible. Oh, you've got a bulletin? I might be asking, what's going on with you? In which case, you might think of your calendar. You might answer that you're busy at work, getting ready for the year end. You might think, I'm busy at home, getting ready for visits from family. You might think of your health and an upcoming doctor's appointment, or the cold that I'm working on getting over. This what's with you question might also come with an accusing tone. What's with you? Like, what's with that guy? Why is he acting like that? Hey, what's up with you, buddy? Now we're getting into a little bit more dangerous territory. We've left simple curiosity behind, and we're heading into judginess. If I'm on the receiving end of that kind of question, the right thing for me to do is to reflect on myself for a moment, ask myself, have I been short with someone, or rude, or impatient? Is this an opportunity for me to improve my behavior? But all too often, it's easier to go on the attack. I've got no problem, you've got a problem. We've all been there, right? We get defensive, we fight back, we try to justify ourselves. After all, I'm a good person, aren't I? And what's the big idea of bringing this up on Christmas Eve when we should all be merry and of good cheer? But the truth of the matter is, there is something with us. It's not something we can explain away by being tired or being stressed out. There is a problem lurking in each of our hearts. That problem is sin. It's deeper than being short with our loved ones or impatient with strangers. It's not just our actions. We're born with it, inherited it from Adam ever since he ate the forbidden fruit. King David puts this quite bluntly. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. He's not being dramatic or exaggerating here. He's just admitting that he's been sinful his whole life, that his whole life has been stained by selfishness, not fully loving God or his neighbor, and wanting to be his own God. That's just the human condition. That's what's with each and every one of us, and we can't fix it. Oh, we can act better, we can be a little nicer, we can give a little more, we can go to church, we can spread the Christmas cheer, but that's just wallpapering over the rot, dressing up a corrupted heart. We can stuff our pockets and purses with good intentions, busy schedules, and even Bibles, but none of those things can take away the stain of sin from our souls. Left to our own devices, that stain is what's going to be with us forever. God is holy. He does not tolerate sin in his presence. So as long as that sin is part of us, we stand condemned. Condemned to death, despair, and separation from God, who created us and wants to be with us. So, if God were to ask us tonight, what's with you? The honest answer would be, Lord, sin is with me. Guilt is with me. Shame. Death. And I can't change it. But the story doesn't end there. It's time for a Christmas miracle. God does not leave us to answer that question for ourselves. He answers it for us. Okay, let me set the scene. Joseph is dismayed to learn that Mary is already pregnant while they are betrothed. He's thinking he should do the right thing, which in his mind is to break things off quietly to avoid, minimize the repercussions on Mary and her family. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Doesn't that sound like just what we need? And then Matthew goes on, like a beam of light cutting through the darkness, he gives us this explanation. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Did you hear that? The answer that God gives us for what's with you is himself, Emmanuel, God with us. Is sin with us? Nope. He's going to take that away in our baptism. Guilt and shame with us? Nope. He's going to take our guilt to the cross and die the most shameful death in our place. Death with us? Nope. He's going to rise again, defeating death once and for all time. And he's not going to do this from afar off. He's not going to stand in heaven and order his angels to do this. He's not going to give us a self-help book or some new set of rules for how to fix ourselves. He's going to come to us through a humble woman in a humble town as a baby who will grow up to live the perfect life that we could not, die the death that we deserved, and rise again so that we might rise again. That name, Emmanuel, God with us, is the Christmas miracle that we needed. It changes everything. It means that God is not against us, he is with us. He is not a little God in our pockets or purses that can't do anything. He created the heavens and the earth and all that they contain. Yet, he came into the world to save us from sin, to save us from ourselves. And he is with us here tonight. The reading I used was from the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. But what's the last sentence in Matthew's Gospel? "And behold," Jesus says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all hearts, all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We now invite the Zion Choir up to sing a happy, glad Christmas.
Oh, That it's been more than 2,000 years since that first Christmas. Imagine how many things have changed since then. You may not even realize it, what that night was like in Bethlehem. Tonight, we would like to take you back to the first Christmas to get a better idea of what Jesus' birthday was like. Most people know about 9 months in advance that they're going to have a baby. But did you know that people knew about Jesus' coming at least 3,000 years before he was born? The first time people heard about Jesus was when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. The only way to solve this problem was to have a Savior come into the world, live a perfect life, and die for us.
Genesis 3:15 has the first promise of a Savior. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
But that's not the only time that God promised this gift. There are many other times in the Old Testament where we hear about the Savior that would come to rescue us. The prophet Micah says that the Savior would not be born in a castle or some huge city, but rather he would be born in a small town called Bethlehem.
But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days.
Over the course of 3,000 years, God gave this promise many times, and we are reminded again and again that God kept his promise then, and he still keeps them today. Let's join in singing Silent Night. Did you know it's about 90 miles from Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph lived, to Bethlehem? It would only take us about an hour and a half to get there in a car, but it may have taken Mary and Joseph a few days to walk that distance. We hear more about their journey in Luke.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
Can you imagine what that trip might have felt like for Mary? She was about to have a baby. Luke continues by telling us of Jesus' birth.
And while they were there, it was time for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Did you notice? The Bible doesn't actually say that Jesus was born in a barn. It says that he was placed in a manger or a feeding trough for animals. These words tell us that Jesus was not born in a palace where a king normally would have begun his life. Instead, we see how Christ began his life in a place where not even a poor individual would be born. Did you know that shepherds at this time were very low in society? The only thing they were trusted with was sheep. Isaiah even compares them to nomads, people who wander from one place to another. Usually, when a baby is born, all the important people hear about it first. Grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles and so on. But God chose these lowly shepherds to be the first to hear this wonderful message. Why? Because perhaps using these men shows us that this is news everyone should hear. Let us hear how the angels gave them this exciting message.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear.
And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for other people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men."
After the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us."
And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
Now when they had seen him, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it marveled at what the shepherds told them.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it was told to them.
Did you hear how everyone responded to this news? The angels praised God, united in chorus. The shepherds ran to spread the news, and Mary treasured these things in her heart. As you can see, there are many different ways to show your excitement on this special day. How are you going to share this message? Let's join in singing "Angels We Have Heard on High."
Oh,
message was told to the simplest of men, the shepherds. But it was also shared with some very important and intelligent men, the Magi from the East. Unfortunately, there is a lot we don't know about these wise men. We don't know exactly when they came to worship Jesus. We don't know how many there were, and we don't know what country they came from. The Magi may have left their homes on the day that Jesus was born, but we do know, based on certain facts the Bible gives us, that they didn't arrive until at least a few months after his birth. Perhaps this shows us the most importance of praising Jesus throughout the year and not just on Christmas. We also are told that the wise men came from the East. However, the Bible doesn't tell us which country. This is a story that every person on earth needs to hear. Matthew recorded this event.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the East came to Bethlehem, to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the East and have come to worship him."
And when they had come into the house, they saw a young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him.
And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Mercy.
Did you know that Jesus didn't have to come into the world? After Adam and Eve fell into sin, God could have just called it quits and started over. But instead, Jesus left his heavenly kingdom to be born on this earth. He lived a perfect life here on earth. He died on the cross, and he rose 3 days later. He did it all because he loves us. God wants us to share this amazing news with the rest of the world.
Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples,
"Go therefore and make disciples of all nations,
baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit,
teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Did you also know that Christ will return again someday? We joyfully look forward to his return when he will deliver us from our sin, death, and the power of the devil, for all of which it is our duty to thank, praise, serve, and obey him. This is most certainly true.
Did you know that your baby
Let us pray. O God, who have made this most holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light, grant that we who have known the mystery of that light on earth may also come to the fullness of his joys in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now join in singing the Lord's Prayer. Joy to the world. The Son of God, our Savior, has come. May the peace of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and every day. Amen.
The past few months have been very exciting. We are very fortunate to join with St. Paul in co-sponsoring Vicar Burr. Vicar, thank you for all your hard work and your dedication and service design. We look forward to our continued fellowship in the new year. On behalf of the members of Zion, we'd like to give you this Christmas card for you and Elizabeth. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you. And thank you all for being here. I know we're a Lutheran church, but I feel it would be appropriate for us to give a big round of applause for the kids in support of all their hard work. And with that, we are finished. Go in peace and serve the Lord.